a bed somewhere with him, their arms wrapped around each other. I saw his hands caressing her naked body. I saw the porcelain of her back as I had seen it in the morning, the smooth skin beneath the rising zip. The coffee seemed to have a soapy taste. I couldn't quite believe it. Shortly after the first sip, I sensed an unpleasant aftertaste. I wondered if my feelings were playing tricks on me. But the second sip had the same taste. I emptied the cup into the sink and poured myself more coffee in a clean cup. Again, the taste of soap. I couldn't imagine why. I'd washed the pot well, and there was nothing wrong with the water. But the taste, or smell, was unmistakable. It could only have been soap, or possibly moisturizing lotion. I threw away the coffee and started to boil some more water, but it just wasn't worth the trouble. I filled a cup with water from the tap and drank that instead. I really didn't want coffee all that much anyway. I waited until 9:30 and dialed Kumiko's office. A woman answered the phone.
"May I speak to Kumiko Okada?" I asked. "I'm sorry, but she doesn't seem to be here yet."
I thanked her and hung up. Then I started ironing shirts, as I always did when I felt restless. When I ran out of shirts, I tied up old newspapers and magazines, wiped down the sink and cabinet shelves, cleaned the toilet and bathtub. I polished the mirrors and windows. I unscrewed the ceiling fixtures and washed the frosted glass. I stripped the sheets and threw them in the washing machine, then put on fresh ones. At 11 o'clock, I called the office again. The same girl answered, and again she told me that Kumiko had not come in.
"Was she planning to miss work today?" I asked. "Not to my knowledge," she said, without a trace of feeling. She was just reporting the facts.
Something was wrong if Kumiko had still not reported to work at 11 o'clock. Most publishers' offices kept irregular hours, but not Kumiko's. Producing magazines on health and natural foods, they had to deal with the kind of writers and other professionals, food producers, farmers, doctors, who went to work early in the morning and came home late in the evening. To accommodate them, Kumiko and her colleagues reported to the company at 9 o'clock sharp and left by 5, unless there was some special reason to stay later. Hanging up, I went to the bedroom and looked through her wardrobe. If she had run off, Kumiko should have taken her clothes. I checked the dresses and blouses and skirts that were hanging there. Of course, I didn't know every piece of clothing she owned. I didn't know every piece of clothing that I owned, but I often took her things to the cleaners and picked them up for her, so I had a pretty good grasp of which items she wore most often and which were most important to her. And as far as I could tell, just about everything was there. Besides, she had had no opportunity to take a lot of clothes with her. I tried to recall as precisely as possible her departure from the house the day before, the clothes she wore, the bag she carried. All she had had with her was the shoulder bag she always carried to work, stuffed with notebooks and cosmetics and her wallet and pens and a handkerchief and tissues. A change of clothing would never have fit inside. I looked through her drawers. Accessories, stockings, sunglasses, panties, cotton tops, everything was there, arranged in neat rows. If anything had disappeared, it was impossible for me to tell. Panties and stockings, of course, she could have managed to take in her shoulder bag, but come to think of it, why would she have bothered? Those she could have picked up anywhere. I went back to the bathroom for another look. No sign of change there either, just a lot of little cosmetics containers and accessories. I opened the bottle of Christian Dior cologne and took another sniff. It smelled the same as before, the fragrance of a white flower, perfect for a summer morning. Again I thought of her ears and her white back. I went to the living room and stretched out on the sofa. I closed my eyes and listened. Virtually the only sound I could hear was that of the clock ticking off time. There were no car noises or birds chirping. I had no idea what to do now. I decided to call her office again and got as far as lifting the receiver and dialing the first few numbers, but the thought of having to talk to that same girl was too much for me, and I put the receiver back. There was nothing more for me to do. I could only wait. Perhaps Kumiko was leaving me. For what reason, I did not know, but it was at least a possibility. Even if it was true, though, she was not the kind of person who would leave without a word. she would do her best to explain her exact reasons as precisely as